What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm former Buffalo Bills wide receiver Don Beebe, and you're listening to Nate and the Fellas on Circling the Wagons podcast on the Buffalo Rumblings podcast network. Because nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Go Bills.
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
The Buffalo Bills squash the Chicago Bears 41-15 in the second preseason game for the Buffalo Bills in Chicago. I am your host, Nate. Welcome to another episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. We have an excellent episode for you guys tonight. We are going to go over the Bills-Bears preseason game. We are going to go over some thoughts on the game. We have a special guest. We have Kyle Trimble from Banged Up Bills. He's a great guy to have general Bills knowledge, and also he's going to help us out with the injuries that accumulated on Saturday, which there were several. So he's going to talk with us about that. We're going to go over several things, including the new Buffalo Rumblings Pick'em League that we have going on. We're going to go over some of the prizes, what's available if you enter, how you enter, all that fun stuff. And yeah, so I'm going to welcome in Kyle Trimble, lead editor and writer for bangedupbills.com and doctor of physical therapy. It's good to have you on, Kyle. It's been too long.
Yes, it has been a minute, but thanks for having me back and look forward to talking with you tonight.
Yeah, this is going to be exciting. So let's just start off automatically with the Bills-Bears game. We always have to have this sort of asterisk that goes with preseason games, right? Like, you don't want to get too high. You don't want to get too low. You're just kind of trying to see a few things, see if you can pull anything from these games, which you really can't because, you know, the defenses of the other team, the offense of the other team aren't really scheming up and the same on your side. But man, that was an ass whooping. That was a beat down by the Buffalo Bills second teamers on offense and defense. They did have some of their first teamers in, but not that many. And the Bills were up 35-6 by halftime with Mitchell Trubisky. Mitchell Trubisky with the revenge game against the Chicago Bears. And what's funny is, like, I don't know if you play fantasy, Kyle, but they always talk, like, I listen to a bunch of podcasts, and they're always like, oh, this is a revenge game. A player got, you know, becomes a traded to another team or becomes a free agent, signs with another team. Then they play their original team. And I'm always like, that's so stupid. Nobody tries any harder because they absolutely do. And I think this was one of those games for Mitchell Trubisky. He looked really good. And he was just surgical going down the field. It wasn't, you know, what we're used to with Josh Allen. Josh Allen was more of, you know, extending plays. And, you know, I feel like he gets a lot more yards after catch from his receivers. But Mitchell was just, he was methodical. He was on point. And I thought he had a really good game. What were your thoughts?
I was really surprised at how well he was doing. I mean, he was drafted number two for a reason coming out in 2017. But it just never seemed like the Bears built around him enough. They gave him some pieces like Allen Robinson. They traded for Khalil Mack on the other side of the ball. And they were giving him some stuff, but it just seemed like they never put the pieces of the puzzle together, except for that 2018 run, and then just never really built off of that, unlike what we've seen with the Bills do with Josh Allen. So we know the talent was there, and it's just interesting how you see you put him into a different offense and he just goes up and down the field and just scores at will. We saw that with Ryan Tannehill when he went to the Titans, though. That might have been more the Adam Gase effect than anything. But still, what's important we got out of Saturday's game is that if Josh does go down, you know, knock on wood, that never does, we have a capable replacement that can have a similar level of play and produce for hopefully short bursts of elite play rather than hoping that it's a game manager. So I was really impressed by everybody for the Bills, and then especially Trubisky, because he's trying to get a job next year. Everybody knows that. And if he can be a one year stopgap, I'm okay with that.
Absolutely. You know, you brought up a great point about if Josh Allen does go down, which we hope never happens, as long as it's short term, you feel a little bit more confident going into this. Now, the Bears aren't, you know, a perennial playoff team by any means at this point in their franchise. But, you know, you look at like last season. I don't know about you, Kyle, but I was a little worried that if Josh Allen went down, I don't think Matt Barkley was really there to provide, you know, if it was a 3 or 4 game stretch, go 50-50, which is kind of what you want, like go 500, you know, unless it was like elite defensive play. I don't think Matt Barkley could have done it. Not that we didn't like Matt Barkley. He's a very likable guy, and I'm sure he was great within the locker room. But when it comes down to it, when the bullets are flying, I'd rather have my backup quarterback be able to do what Mitch Trubisky did to the Bears' first team defense.
Absolutely.
So on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, they were just making, there was, so let me go through some of the drives that happened in the first half for the Chicago Bears. Okay, this is the offense. This is Andy Dalton, supposedly their starter. We'll see. I mean, Justin Fields didn't look terrible. We'll get into that. But this is the first, all of the drives that happened in the first half for the Chicago Bears. Three plays, punt. Three plays, punt. Three plays, fumble. Three plays, punt, touchdown. That was that 73-yard touchdown bomb from Andy Dalton to Adams over Saran Neal, which we'll talk to in a minute. And then the next one was turnover on downs by the Bears, and then the next one was the interception. Those were all of the drives for the Chicago Bears offense. I mean, you're talking, I mean, the Bills just, they just looked dominant, minus one gaffe. I think they looked amazing. I mean, what were your thoughts on that performance by the Bills defense?
The fact that they're able to do all that stuff, they made that Bears offense sound like a mid 2010s Bills offense, where they were just always going three and out. Occasionally you get something, but just never enough to string together. So it's just satisfying to see that either the offense of the Bears couldn't get going, or the fact that the Bills defense could just be so dominating and do what it needed to do to get the opposing offense off the field so that they can go back to work. And obviously every time that the defense did their job, the offense went out and scored. So the game got out of hand real quickly because each part did their part. And then that's what I was hoping. No one side of the ball was bailing out the other one like we have seen in years past. So we know it's preseason, but still, it's good to see that they're capable of doing that.
Yeah, it would be so amazing if Josh Allen and most of the offense returns, and then all of a sudden this defense that was middling to maybe slightly below average, slightly above average at times last season, returns to its 2019 form where they were a top five defense. I mean, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself as a Bills fan. I don't want to get too high on this, but they look the part so far. And I mean, what can you not say about Greg Rousseau, the Bills' rookie defensive end so far for the first two games? I mean, I don't know about you. Heading into the draft, we're like, okay, this guy's a developmental project. We'll see where he fits in. Hopefully he gets some meaningful snaps this season, a la A.J. Epinesa last season. We'll see, though. We'll see if he's ready. He did take all of last season off. I mean, but at this point, you're looking at the guy like, man, like he's going to be pushing potentially a starter between Mario Addison and Jerry Hughes for a lot of meaningful reps. Like I could see, I mean, McDermott hates putting his rookies in at starting positions unless he has to. He loves sitting them behind veterans and having guys kind of, what they say, cook, right? Like let them cook, right? Like let them. And, but you know, there's a point, like, I don't know if you remember Matt Milano's rookie year.
Oh,
like,
yes.
He was behind Ramon Humber, right? Ramon, the vet from the 49ers. Mm-hmm. And after 5 or 6 games, he was playing so good. They're like, we just need to start him. Like, he's just that good. Like, I could see that happening, like, in Mario Addison's spot, where, like, he's just getting in on some passing downs. He's using his long frame. He's bending the edge. And all of a sudden, like, you know, in, like, 6 games, he has 4 sacks. And Mario Addison maybe has 1 or 2 and gets most of the snaps. And you're just like, what are you doing? This guy needs to be in for the majority of snaps. Can you see that?
I can. As you're talking, I'm thinking, though, you don't want to expose them too much because I don't want to say you don't put enough out on film. I mean, teams are going to see what Rousseau and other guys do. But my only fear of getting him out there too much is if you overwhelm him or if he gets flustered by guys, because there's going to be some elite tackles he goes against he just will not be able to beat. So you don't want to get him out there and have him get all this confidence and, oh my God, I can't get beat. Especially since, you know, his freshman year at Miami, he had a broken ankle, so he missed most of that year. The sophomore year, he had that amazing season where he had, what, 15 and some odd sacks, and then took off last year. So he comes to the NFL. You don't want him to have him do an awesome game, let's say, against you know, the Jets. Mekhi Becton's been getting pantsed, I guess, left and right in camp. So you don't want to see him go destroy Becton, and then he gets up against somebody with a little more talent, and then he's like, wait, what's going on? So I think if you expose him more in those situational events and then throw him in a little bit more maybe the second half of the game when you got the game locked up, that way you get him out there kind of what they did reverse with AJ Epenesa. So I definitely think he's gonna get more play time than Epenesa, but I also don't think you need to throw him out there and have him be at every down defensive end like Bruce Smith was, just because let's save him. They're in a rotation for a reason. Let's keep it that way.
Yeah, I think that's the MO of the Bills coaching staff anyway. It's kind of going along with exactly what you said. They'll never give one defensive end 100% of the snaps, and they'll just, you know, rotate. I think maybe what if it starts like 80-20 versus like Addison versus Rousseau in the beginning, and then that gap kind of shortens as the season go on and Rousseau plays well. Like you said, like they don't want him to get too overconfident, and they don't want him to get, you know, too overwhelmed where he gets buried once he, you know, that makes complete sense to me. I agree with you, and I think that's how Sean McDermott runs. Now, one thing that I was completely surprised about, and maybe it's just because of the news this week with Deion Dawkins and him coming back to practice and the jolting words that he had describing his bout with COVID, I was under the impression, you know, he'd missed so much of camp and he lost 15 pounds and he's in the hospital for 4 days, for God's sake. You know, like this was a tough time for him, and he's back on the field. He actually started two series for the Buffalo Bills on the offensive line, which I was extremely surprised about, but I was also very encouraged by that too, because that means that at first, you know, when I heard the words earlier Monday or Tuesday or whatever it was, I was like, I wonder if he's going to make the beginning of the season. I mean, you lose that much weight, and you know that time, even though he's losing weight, you know he's not working out in that 2 or 3 week period. So, like, it's all muscle mass. You know, he's trying to get, he's going to have to get his aerobic, you know, cardio. I mean, you can speak to that point, Kyle. I'll let you speak to that. But, I mean, how encouraging was it to see him take at least two series with the Buffalo Bills and, you know, maybe a little bit more next week or whatever to be ready for the season to start on September 12th.
It's very encouraging because he got off the COVID list last week, and I thought he would take more time to get up to speed. So we know he's not up to full speed yet. We saw that. Now we're recording on a Sunday night. We saw today during practice at 4 o'clock that Mario Addison was helping Dawkins run wind sprints to help get himself back into shape. So we know he's not there yet. But if you look at it, he played the two series. I have to go back and look how many plays he played total there. But each play is almost like a little mini sprint, if you will, if the average play lasts about 3 seconds. So I'm sure he's able to go out there, but I'm sure if he kept on playing longer and longer, he'd have been more gas, and that's where you really would have saw mistakes happen or him just not be able to keep up with things. So it's good to get him back out there. Normally, I would say don't put him out there in the third preseason game, but he's going to need that to continue to build his reps back up, only even just for another few sets, and he's going to be working his tail off. COVID, it's been awful. You know, as a healthcare worker, it's been awful for the past 18 months. You know, we're going on now. And I've had enough people who have dealt with the post-COVID effects of this, that deconditioning, the strengthening, just the lack of, you lose everything. And it's a real thing. And you heard Deion Dawkins say, you know, it kicked his butt. He really didn't think he was going to make it at times. So he's a professional athlete. He's incredibly young. So I can only imagine how he's feeling as he's trying to get back into shape there. Because, I mean, I deal with these people who are coming off of these, you know, older people, and they're struggling as well. So I'm thinking, now you have to go try to block 300-pound linemen or defensive ends that are trying to kill you and your quarterback. yeah, a lot of work ahead of you, but they have the training staff to get them back up to speed. He has the motor to get them back up to speed, and thankfully he has the time, being, you know, another 3 weeks until week one, where he really has to be ready.
So a couple of questions, as someone who deals with people that have suffered from this this illness, and, you know, getting people up to speed. I mean, first off, like, it's encouraging that he played two series. I mean, is there anything that you think in your mind that would prevent him from starting the majority of snaps in week one at this point? I mean, does this outlook look really good because he came back this week? And I mean, you're thinking cardio wise, you know, weight wise, he might not be where he was a few weeks ago, but he might be 80% of that way. And you know, and he'll use the rest of the season as, you know, time to still make some more gains.
I'm definitely pleased to see that he's getting back up to speed with the two, you know, series that he was in there. Even though when he gets back to week one, he probably won't be close to 100%, but he'll probably be close enough to where he can play most of the game, if not all of it. It's just all about loading himself up and exposing him more to the aerobic demands of the position and of the game itself. So it just depends on as quickly his body recovers. It's amazing with COVID how that simple walk to the bathroom can get somebody so tired, or, you know, getting out of bed, or just those simple activities there for some of the older people. But with him, he's just going to be working his tail off. As they know that his heart's okay, they've done the testing for it, so it's just a matter of just pushing himself to get back up, and his body will adapt. I mean, thankfully he's as young as he is, he's going to adapt a little bit quicker than somebody a little bit older. But I'm sure they have a plan in place in case he can't go. Of course, there's always a plan in place if there is an injury. So I would treat this as like any other injury. Let's try to push him as much as he can. If he needs a break, we can try to figure out some other things. And, you know, hopefully Steelers aren't good in week one. I don't know that that's going to be the case with TJ Watt and Melvin Ingram, but you hope that he's going to be able to be up to speed. And if he's not, he's going to find a way to get those reps in there so he can protect Josh.
And you mentioned how lucky Deion was that he's, you know, in great shape, being a professional athlete. He's so young. The people that you're dealing with and helping, you know, you're giving therapy to, that have dealt with COVID. I mean, are these like people that, you know, only have a few weeks or a few days or whatever of therapy, or is it a case by case dependent on age, or is it just like you get the whole gamut of people, dealing with it, from, you know, from older to younger, from long to short, long term to short term, or I mean, what have you seen out there?
We're dealing with them a few times a week. We are seeing mostly older people, some middle-aged people, but mostly older people right now from in the setting I'm in. And it just try to expose them more exercise, try to get the build up more, and just understand when to take a break and when not, because recovering back from COVID's similar approach I've seen to take it to just a heart failure or COPD, you almost have to work in short bursts of activity rather than trying to do something for long distance. So a lot of times people were independent prior to all this, and then they want to get back to doing everything they need to and wonder why they're getting so tired so quickly. So you have to constantly keep doing short bursts of activity and then build them up over time. And then that's how they get back there. So, you know, I expect the same thing with Deion, but obviously at a quicker pace than some of the people that I've dealt with in the past year.
Yeah, see, this is one of the reasons I'm glad I have you on. just, you know, besides all the Bills banter, I mean, it's so good to have someone that actually knows what the hell they're talking to instead of me just guessing.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting, Kyle, on a separate level, like my dad had this like virus a few years ago, and he was out. Like it was just like the worst. It was almost to the point where he was so dehydrated at one point, it was like life threatening. And he got into the hospital. He was bedridden for a couple of days. And my wife is a therapist. Now she's an occupational therapist, not a physical therapist, but she was telling me, which I didn't know, like every day that you spend bedridden, you lose like a certain percentage of body muscle.
Along those lines. Yeah. I've heard the thing. It's like for every day you spend in bed, it's like 2 or 3 days to get back to recover. So I don't know what the percentage is. I haven't seen that, but there is that adage out there, and there is something to it though. I have seen that, and it's seen in practice.
Yeah. Cause he needed, I mean, my dad was never in amazing shape, but he was like working out every day, you know, the senior center, like that sort of thing, like the VA, the VA hospital, and like had this routine down. And then he went through this. So like he had to do physical therapy after being 4 or 5 days in the hospital, just not doing what you normally do. I mean, I had no idea. And this was eye opening for me. So So we talked about Deion Dawkins. Some of the other things I noticed was, you know, Jake Kumerow had some drops to, you know, during the game, but, you know, he pulled off, had that touchdown, had another really good grab along the sidelines. I mean, you know, obviously a few gaffes. Some of those drops were kind of questionable. It was good coverage. Maybe Mitchell Trubisky could have put in a slightly better place, whatever. This is the first time we actually saw him catch, you know, some passes in preseason action. What did you think of what you saw from him or anyone else on the receiving side of the ball?
Kumerow, he just keeps making a case to make the roster. Like when he was signed back after he was, you know, let go, he signed with Saints and came back. I was like, well, he's going to be another camp body. He might have a shot at making it every once in a while. And then he just keeps on just, he's not allowing the Bills to write him off. And it's awesome to see that. I mean, we understand he's never going to be the Stephon Diggs or we had last year John Brown, one of those elite wide receivers, but yeah, he's been a fan favorite, or he's going to be turning into a fan favorite, and that like he just is going to stick around and he's going to make a difference when you need that, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth option on the field. So it's awesome to see. I don't see how he doesn't make the roster unless an injury occurs, of course, but he's doing everything he needs to. I mean, Aaron Rodgers had something to say about that when he said he's second best receiver. I thought he was joking just for whatever reason, but there is something there. And maybe he's just like Trubisky earlier, has found a sweet spot in an offense that can maximize his skills. I don't think he's going to be here super long, but hey, if he can help us win a Super Bowl, sign me up.
Yeah, this is the deepest the Bills wide receiving core has been since Josh Allen's been a quarterback. I'm sure you remember the first season where he had Kelvin Benjamin as his wide receiver number one, the same guy that would not, you know, do extra practice reps in like a preseason game or whatever, you know, throw the ball around. But he's come so long. The Bills, you know, credit to Brandon Bean for putting all these guys ahead of him. Let's talk about, oh, real quick, did you see that clip where I retweeted it, where Aaron Rodgers was talking at training camp about like this like low end depth chart tight end?
And yes, I did see that.
And for those that didn't see that, one of the reporters was like, oh wow, he's like, it sounds great. He's like, I can't see, wait to see what Buffalo does with him next year. So let's talk about more options in the receiving core. You're looking at Isaiah McKenzie, who had 7 receptions on 8 targets for 72 yards. He had a decent game, obviously, you know, being that option for Mitchell Trubisky. He's proving himself more of a wide receiver in that respect, which I'm sure they want to get him as many reps as they can in before the season, because he looks like he's going to be a roster spot or roster lock, not only for that side of the ball, but mainly also for the kick return, punt return. He did have a really good punt return. He did have a muffed punt. What were your thoughts on Isaiah McKenzie against the Bears?
He did what he wanted to out there. I mean, the muffed punt was definitely the biggest glaring mistake he had, but that can happen. I don't want to say it can happen to anybody. Andre Robinson, I don't believe, ever had a muff punt during his time with the Bills, but he continues to like just do whatever he can to show that he needs to be around. I know that they had some confidence in him, and I know that he was looking to try to cash in possibly next year, though he wants to be in Buffalo. He said, pay me in candy or what have you. But I just know that he's trying to be the most well-rounded wide receiver, because he knows like he's never going to be what Diggs or Beasley is. But if he can be on that next level and be that ultra dependable guy out in the field, he wants to be that there. So I've been pleased with McKenzie, even though he had the drop there.
I got to ask you this though. Like, I mean, before we go into the Andre Smith hit on Justin Fields, speaking of receiving options, people don't think about this. We've heard a lot about Dawson Knox just being the de facto tight end just because he is who he is. You know, he's the one that was drafted by the Bills. You know, you have Jacob Hollister, who's, you know, been like a fourth or fifth option for Russell Wilson, but has been, you know, very, you know, has been one of those guys that he's been an end zone target for him. He comes over to the Bills, former teammate of Josh Allen, and he looked good on Saturday, you know, getting some looks. He was, what was he? I have it right here. 3 for 53 on 3 targets. And he didn't look bad, man. He caught everything that came his way. I wish I could say that for Dawson Knox every week. I know he's still working on that, but you know, this is potentially a year. Now people scoffed at this. I know Greg from Cover One scoffed that there's no way that, you know, there's a possibility that Dawson Knox won't be the starter. I think that's probably true too, but Jacob Hollister hasn't shut the door on that possibility not being – that outcome not being what we thought. What did you think? Did you – on the few plays that you saw of him?
He was out there and he was making himself known as a good tight end option. I mean, we know Knox, the team has definitely put the resources and investment into him to make him tight end number one. But if he has a season like he did last year where he's always injured, missed time, somebody else has to step up and Hollister's saying, hey, I can do this, or is at least going to do his best to try to be available. So I think the competition in there is going to breed the better play. Regardless of who steps up, I want Knox to, because they have more resources than them. But hey, at the end of the day, if somebody can step up and do the job, get it done.
Yeah, absolutely. Now we have to talk about the Andre Smith hit on Bears quarterback Justin Fields. And for those that didn't see that or didn't see that clip all over social media, basically he had a free shot right to Justin Fields. I mean, Andre Smith was completely unblocked, like a la like Arthur Motes to Brett Favre as a Viking, right? Like just took his helmet off, just crushed him. It was flagged. It was called a dirty hit. Now I was watching it in an instant replay. I didn't see it live, but I've seen the clip 100 different times. I put a poll up on Twitter, but to me, just seeing it right off the bat, it looked illegal just based on like, do I think it was a dirty hit? No, but like it looked illegal because he went helmet to helmet. People slowed it down. It kind of looked like he dropped it. Fields dropped his knees, so he kind of lowered his helmet level. Kyle, what did you think about that play? Did you think it was a dirty hit, or did you think it was just it was called correctly, or what?
It definitely is a bang-bang play in terms of like he got in there, and sometimes it's just how you get in there. I mean, I know that guys try to avoid hitting certain areas or whatnot, but sometimes just the height differential, the angle you go in, sometimes it's just inevitable, so it makes it look worse than it really was. So obviously Fields is okay, and you know Smith got flagged and whatnot there, but that's a hit of yesteryear. We enjoy that from a entertainment standpoint, but obviously we want to make sure the game's safe. But it's hard to avoid every type of those hits just because bang bang nature of football. It just that you just can't avoid it every single time.
Exactly. And I put a poll up on Twitter with over 1,000 votes, and it said, was it a clean hit by Andre Smith on Justin Fields? 69% yes, 31% no. Of course, this is a Buffalo Bills fan, you know, podcast Twitter poll, so I'm sure a lot of the people are feeling it. Man, like, not for nothing, like, you know, I try to be as objective as possible. If you're going to hit a guy and it hits his helmet, especially the other team's quarterback, you're going to get flagged every time, whether you think it, whether he wasn't trying to injure him or not. You just got to go lower. You know, it's just the way it is. It's just they're going to call it. They have to.
Yep.
So real quick, the last thing I want to talk to before we get injuries, if we have time to talk injuries at all, was we mentioned Deion Dawkins earlier. Spencer Brown didn't look so bad this preseason game. And I retweeted this video that Cover One threw up where it was him just burying Khalil Mack on a play, on a pass rush play. And I was like, man, I know he's raw. I know he's got a long ways to go. But I mean, if you can just show any piece of that now and maybe, you know, grow from there, which we are all hoping. I mean, this is a good start. I'm hoping we don't rely on him week one, but, you know, in the future, it makes you feel a little bit more confident in him. What did you see that at all? Or do you have any thoughts on that?
I did see a clip from Cover One. It's satisfying to know that he could take an all pro such as Khalil Mack and put him in his place, though. I think you can say that for most NFL players. They can hold their own for a play or two. It's just the great ones find a way to get past them, you know, more often than not. So I'm sure it's a nice confidence booster for Spencer Brown, but I wouldn't, you know, rest of my laurels knowing that, okay, you stopped Khalil Mack. Like, okay, cool. He's going to beat you the next five times if you let him. So learn from it and grow from that. But it's good to see that they're identifying talent in the later rounds and hopefully can develop into strong starters.
Absolutely. Now, I know you got to get going, and I really appreciate your time going in for any of this. Any of the major injuries that happened this weekend that really stuck out to you? I know there were several going between Harrison Phillips, Dane Jackson, Justin Zimmer, Cam Lewis. I mean, what did you take away from that? Do any of them worry you?
The Phillips one a little bit, because they did announce that he's week to week and it's supposed to be something he's going to miss some time for. It looked like a contusion when he first hit. He did have one of the Bears offensive linemen fall on him while his knee was bent, which didn't help things at all. I really originally just thought a contusion. He got right back up, played a few more plays, and then got out. But then they're saying week to week now. am I thinking, you know, is it a bone bruise, PCL sprain, something with a patella? We don't know right now. Ian Rappaport did say it was a minor knee injury. Now, he's talking to the source. Now, the source could be, they know what they're talking about when they talk with Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter. But I would think that if it was more of a major injury or something that was going to require surgery, they would highlight that in the reporting to that reporter, even if they were put it subtle. So it's concerning because he's been having a good camp. I want to see him make this team, but we'll still kind of watch and see how he responds at practice, and we'll get the videos and see what's going on. But it's too early to tell whether he's going to be ready week one. He could be a nice option if they want to move him to injured reserve because we have the 3-week window instead of the 8-week window we used to have, especially when they're talking about getting Justin Zimmer on the team or, you know, the extra, you know, offensive lineman, defensive lineman. So they could do some roster gymnastics and use Phillips as an option, especially if they think it's going to last, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. And look at the other injuries. The other one that really concerned me was Marquez Stevenson. He had that awesome punt return touchdown, and then he went to the bench and was getting his right foot checked out. I had found that he had injured the foot a little bit before that, 11:48 in third quarter. He got a ball dropped out to the near the out of bounds. He got taken down. His right foot got twisted up underneath. They did the x-rays, which was interesting because the team doesn't usually announce that stuff from what I've seen historically. So the fact that they announced the x-rays were negative and that he was in a walking boot makes me think he had some type of midfoot sprain, and they designated this as a foot injury. And originally they had it as a foot ankle. So I think they need to wait for more tests, including an MRI, to see where they're at with things. I have no idea what's going to happen with him because it's just too soon to tell. When they got back late on, you know, Saturday night, Sunday morning. MRI places usually aren't open up on weekends from what I've seen. So I'm sure they're waiting to see where the imaging's at and then what that's going to look like. So he could be another one that if it's not too bad, go on IR, free up a roster spot for somebody else, and then let the chips kind of fall where they may. So those are the two big ones I'm worried about. So a lot of people are worried about the Doyle and Brown. Both just look like they got their knees hit. Brown got hit from behind. Doyle kind of took an extra step on the Jake Fromm sack in mid third quarter. He did come back and had the knee taped up. So Sean McDermott was real happy with their injury news and didn't think they would miss too much time. And then everybody else was pretty routine. Dane Jackson had a stinger. Couldn't find exactly when he did it, but it seemed like it was late in the first quarter. And he kind of just disappeared from the field of play. So we know these are going to happen, but that is a perfect example of why you don't play your starters in the preseason unless you're trying to look at something like we saw with Deion Dawkins or Ed Oliver or something else like that. So not that we want injuries to happen, but I'd rather have it happen to guys who are maybe fringe, you know, roster players or, you know, depth players over, you know, our starters. And then you're looking at, well, the season's done before it started.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Now, you mentioned Marquez Stevenson. Like, he's had a pretty good preseason thus far. He had that really good reception to seal the game against the Lions. He had that return punt you just mentioned. Between his injury and Isaiah Hodgins' injuries, like, there's a possibility that I could see them, because wide receiving depth is so, you know, deep this year, and they don't want to lose these guys, because I could see them potentially getting picked up if they're healthy. Mm-hmm. Could you see them trying to like stash them on injured reserve? Also, is that not even possible, depending on the injury?
They have to make the roster, and then they have to be put on injured reserve. So with how Hodgins has been, I don't think they have to worry about him because he hasn't done anything in the preseason from what I've seen, but other than him being a draft pick. But I'd be more about Stevenson, especially since he has the ability to take the ball, you know, the punt return touchdown, you know, returns in general there. So I think he would definitely be more of a worry and probably more justifiable to be on IR than Hodgins based off the type of injuries we're seeing.
Okay. Okay, great. Well, you know, let everyone know, Kyle, where they can find all your great work online, and they can follow you on anywhere on social media.
I'm at Banged Up Bills on Twitter. I also do some work for The Game Day, which is a sports betting website, under my other Twitter handle, KyleTrimble88. You can find my work over at Buffalo Rumblings, find some draft work over at Cover One, And then you can find a lot of the day-to-day stuff over at bangedupbills.com. Pretty easy to interact with on the Banged Up Bills tag a lot more than the other one. And just want to talk about injuries and try to give insight as to what's going on so that somebody can understand. I know I'm not always right. I want to be right, but I know I'm not going to be right. But I think if somebody can understand what they're seeing and how to interpret it and then what's out in the reports, I think they're a better educated fan and then can stay off the cliff. You know, we've had some injuries that have led people to really wonder what's going on from a feeling helplessness. So if I can say, hey, here's what's going on, here's what it could be, here's where they stand, then I think that helps kind of educate the fan and put them right for their mind so they can move forward and focus on the rest of the team instead of that one particular player.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd highly recommend all listeners follow you, Kyle, and check out your work on Buffalo Rumblings, obviously, like in bangedupbills.com. And one of the great things about having you as a knowledge base is that you've seen people with all of these injuries in some way, shape, or form, and you've treated hundreds, if not thousands, of people who have been in and have had these injuries at some point. So you've seen the gamut of things. You know what to expect. You know what the window is, the recovery time. Like, you know, I mean, I know, like I said, my wife being an occupational therapist, like how you have to bill insurance because you have to let them know how long they're going to be in therapy for. And, you know, it's absolutely great to hear from you. I hope we do it again soon. Kyle, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Anytime.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're on.
Thank you so much to Kyle Trimble of bangedupbills.com for coming on and talking all those things to us. Super useful information, not only on the injury side of things, which is really what he's known for, but also I love to have him on because not a lot of people take advantage of his Bills knowledge, which he has a wealth of. So thank you to him for coming on. A few things, the announcements that we want to do as far as for the Buffalo Rumblings Podcast Network is that we are doing a pick'em league for Buffalo Rumblings podcast listeners and Buffalo Rumblings site readers. Now, these are only people, and obviously, you know, if you watch the YouTube channel, you're obviously welcome as well. This was something that Anthony Marino has always done, and he and I are collaborating together along with the other hosts of the Buffalo Rumblings Podcast Network as far as trying to get people involved into a pick'em league, which, like I mentioned, we could have easily done over Twitter, Facebook, whatever, just like gotten 1,000 people. We don't want to get 1,000 people for this league. We want as many people as we can, obviously, but we want people that listen to the podcast, people that are going to be part of this thing throughout the entire season. And so this is something that I set up. It's on cbssports.com. There is going to be a link to this contest in the show notes on buffalorumblings.com. In anywhere that you listen to the podcast, you will find it. There will be a link for it. You go to that link, you sign up, you make a $5 donation or more, whatever you feel comfortable with, to join the league. We want you to have some skin in the game just so that you feel like you're going to be in week in or week out. And then also, I mean, this is just for a great cause. It's the Cancer Society. It's something that Anthony has a strong part of it. And it's just a great cause. Obviously, cancer affects all of us in some way, shape, or form. And it's a great cause. So I've donated several prizes. And so has Anthony. And they include a red Zach Moss jersey, a blue Thurman Thomas jersey, a blue Harrison Phillips jersey. Knock on wood. Hope Harrison Phillips comes back soon. And then an 8x10 signed photo of John Feliciano. All these items are signed memorabilia. So if you win this pick'em league, you will be able to have your pick of whatever piece of signed memorabilia you want. And then obviously second place, third place, fourth place, and so on, get to choose from there. So you get whatever the first place, you know, winner doesn't want, and so on and so forth. Either way, I mean, you're going to win. You're going to end up with something cool for only $5 or maybe more, depending on your donation. But the most important reason to join this Pick'em League is that if you win, you get to be on the Circling the Wagons podcast after the season is over. So you get to give all of your hot takes on Circling the Wagons. You get to tell us who your season-long Wall of Famer and Wall of Shamer are for the Buffalo Bills or in general. I mean, this is going to be a fun time. It's not very often that any podcasts invite listeners, to be a part of it. And this is something that this was a cool way to get you guys. I know that there are so many of you out there that want to be a part of this somehow in some way. I'd like to think that it's because you just enjoy what you do, but probably because you think you can do it better than us, right? Let's be honest. I would love you to be a part of this show in some way, shape, or form. And I think this could be something that would be a good intro into that. And how often would you like to reach, you know, so many, you know, hundreds of thousands of Bills fans or more to do that? And you know, this is... We want to say thank you for, you know, you guys listening and being a part of this podcast. And so, like, you know, between the jerseys we're giving away, we're also doing our Circling the Wagons podcast giveaway each week, where we give away a signed piece of memorabilia each week to a winner. And if you're interested in how to join that as well, just leave a 5-star review for us on Apple Podcasts somewhere. Mention CTW in the review. The other thing I want you to do this season, which is different than last season's, is I want you to mention another podcast within the podcast network. Because I know you guys are doing it for the free jersey and memorabilia, signed helmets, whatever. I completely get that. I would do the same thing. I'm just like you guys. But I would like you to also mention, like, I don't know, maybe it is Joe Miller's podcast. Maybe it's Believe. Maybe it's J. Spencer King. Maybe it's Anthony Marino. Maybe it's Matt Warren. Maybe it's one of, you know, Bruce Exclusive. Any of these podcasts that you listen to, you know, Big Newton, Jamie D. You know, like there are great listens all across our platform. And I know that we kind of, you know, take most of the credit when it comes to reviews because you guys are trying to win stuff. But I need you to let us know who else you like to listen to on the podcast network. We need to give them credit because they're doing an amazing job across all platforms each week, week in, week out. So that's for the Pick'em League. So if you're wondering how we're able to, you know, donate these jerseys for the Pick'em League, which you should join, if you're able to donate these other signed mini helmets, I have some photographs. I have some jerseys. I have some really cool stuff, guys, for the year-long thing. Like there may be several Hall of Famers signed jerseys, man. This is cool stuff. If you ever wonder how we can afford this stuff or give away, which, by the way, no other podcast anywhere does, anywhere else on the internet, at least as far as like Buffalo Bills goes. And I know because I listen to them all, they don't do this, much less like a few a year. They don't do it every single week like we do. So if you want to be a part of that, we obviously want you to be a part of that. But if you're wondering, how are we able to afford this hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of memorabilia? It's because I have a trust fund. And no, I'm just kidding. I do not have a trust fund. I wish I did. Or maybe I don't wish I did. Maybe I would never understand hard work. You know what? I don't even want to criticize trust funds because we might have some trust fund kids listening to this podcast, and God forbid I ever alienate any of our listeners, the one or two that there are out there. But no, it's actually the reason why we're able to do that is because of some great sponsorships that we have and some great things that we have going on for our podcast. First and foremost, we have the DraftKings Sportsbook at Del Lago. If you've ever been to the Del Lago Resort and Casino, It is such a cool place. We're fortunate by the fact that we live kind of close to Waterloo because we're in Rochester, New York. So it's only like a half hour, 45 minute drive from where we are. And it is so nice. I've only bet on games two places in my entire life, Vegas and the Del Lago Resort and Casino. And if you haven't been there, it is a really cool setup. There's a huge bar. There's probably like 20 huge screens with all the games going on, different angles. You have the Red Zone channel. I mean, it is a cool experience to go there, not only to watch the games, and obviously if you like going around to the tables playing craps or roulette or whatever you like, but also like the food's good there. Like they, you know, we've been treated there. It is an amazing venue. We've recorded the podcast after there. It is a cool place to be, man. And there's a lot of Bills fans there, and it's so fun to experience that with other Bills fans. I got to be honest, when Mike, John and I go, my co-host during the season, we definitely like the whole time we're going there, we're like, okay, what are the spreads in the games? What can we do? And then we're like, we got to go to the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. We're going to put all these bets and we have like a running list. We're like the kind of guys that are just like, we're sometimes dumb bettors, right? Like nothing, like our eyes get way too big for our stomach, and we will bet like four or five different parlays, right, at once, thinking, oh yeah, they're obviously all gonna hit, and you know, it has happened once, so you know, instead of winning $5 or $10, you win like $80 or $100. It's such a fun time. I'd highly recommend it to all of you guys. If you have been listening to the podcast for a while, you'll remember that at the DeLago Resort and Casino, we were able to interview Bruce Smith, Hall of Famer, defensive end for the Buffalo Bills. It was such a fun time. You should search that now if you haven't searched it. It was a good time to talk to him. It was a fun time in general, but to sit across, stand across from Bruce Smith, who looks like he could still play, by the way. I mean, he's not maybe as jacked as he could, but the dude's in phenomenal shape for being in his 50s. It was a cool experience. The people over there are so friendly and so nice and so hospitable that we love the fact that they sponsor our podcast and are able to help us, you know, donate these items for the podcast for you guys, which the listeners, which we appreciate the hell out of. And we hope that you enjoy and take something away from every single conversation we do on a weekly basis. And by the way, I did ask them, I know COVID's happening. It's been happening the last couple of seasons. I said, hey, man, if you ever get another Bruce Smith, Cornelius Bennett, whoever it is, we would absolutely interview them again for the podcast for Buffalo Rumblings. And they said, you know what? You're going to be the first people we go to. We'll let you know as soon as that happens or they're able to do it again. So I said, awesome. So thank you so much to the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. Thank you to Addy over there. Thank you to Christy in the past and Paige. So those guys are great over there. Appreciate working with them. TeePublic is the site that we use where we have hundreds of Bills designs that go on t-shirts, hoodies, tank tops, coffee mugs, stickers. For some reason, people love buying stickers. I thought stickers were a thing that I did as a kid. There are so many people that buy stickers from our TeePublic store, which I appreciate the heck out of. I just didn't realize stickers. We might have sold like, you know, two or three coffee mugs, but there's been like hundreds of stickers sold from our TeePublic site. So that's really cool to see. We just had a sale going on for TeePublic. So if you go to teepublic.com/stores/CTWpod, that is a great way that we've been able to use as a way to give away this awesome memorabilia to you guys. There are hundreds of Bills designs. Like half of them are from us. Our amazing graphic designer, Nick, has done a great job. We have some new designs coming up for the Buffalo Bills season. I can't even you know, give them away just a little bit because I'm worried somebody might steal them and run with them on their own and make a better one, maybe. I don't know. So you'll have to check it out, teepublic.com/stores/CTWpod. It is absolutely blown up in the last year or so. I know a lot of that has to do with the Bills doing well, but a lot of it has to do with the really cool designs that Nick has been putting out and that we've been putting together as a team. And really want to thank you guys all for, you know, purchasing anything from that store. The great people over at TeePublic, I told them what we do for the podcast. We're going to mention the store, and they're like, hey, like we'll do a monthly giveaway for your listeners. And I said, awesome. So along with the signed memorabilia, we're also going to do a monthly giveaway for our TeePublic store. Maybe we'll do a t-shirt. Maybe we'll do a tank top. Maybe we'll do a hoodie. I don't know. We're going to talk it over. So stay tuned for that. Thank you so much for supporting our TeePublic site. Again, that's teepublic.com/stores/CTWpod. It is the most hidden website on all the internet for Bill stuff, and it's one of the coolest ones. And speaking of our last sponsor, now this is a cool venture that we did with the people over at FOCO, is there's a site called FOCO. They have a ton of cool Bills items. I mean, if you want to go for like Bills hats and certain Bills memorabilia, you go to like fanatics.com, right? Or NFLshop.com. Well, this has like all of the really cool accessories and stuff like that that you wouldn't necessarily go to that site for. Like, do they have hoodies? Do they have t-shirts? Absolutely. But do they also have like the Bills Hawaiian shirts? Do they also have those cool like Sean McDermott like, you know, 360 degree hats that you wear in the summertime so you don't, you know, get sunburned. They have that too. I bought a backpack cooler, a Bills backpack cooler, and I carry that. I will carry that tailgating. I will carry that. We have children. I'll carry that everywhere. We take that camping with us because it is an amazing thing to be able to carry with you. Mike and John, we got them hoodies from the Foco site. I was looking at a few different cool things. Like they had the Josh Allen bobblehead last year. They're bringing out these really cool quilted blankets this season. It looks like there's two or three different versions. And let's be honest, like before you know it, like in another couple months, like it's going to be cold. You're going to want a blanket at the stadium. You're going to want a blanket at home watching the game or watching the highlights at night. Like it is a cool idea. I would absolutely recommend you checking them out and seeing what they have to offer. I'm going to put the link in the show notes for that one because that's like a super long URL. But it's Foco something, but the promo code to get 10% off everything on Foco is to use the promo code CTW, as in Circling the Wagons. So CTW August 10. That's CTW August 10 for 10% off everything on the site. And yeah, so thank you for everyone for listening. Thank you for everyone. Thank you for Kyle again for coming on. Check out bangedupbills.com. Everything he does, super cool guy, very knowledgeable. And thank you guys all for listening. Join that Pick'em League and check out our T Public store and our Foco site and enjoy the new Bills anthem by Dom Brown called A Bills City. And until next time, go Bills, and we'll talk to you guys again soon.
Yeah. Buffalo, stand up. It's the Mafia. It's a Bill City. Yeah, a Buffalo Bill City. Yo, it's a Bill City. Yeah, a Buffalo Bill City. Yo, we got Josh Allen, got Steph Diggs, we got Cole Deion Dawkins, cause you know it's about to snow. Mafia, you know we on a roll. No competition and it's not even close. Yeah, Ike McKenzie on a jet sweep, maybe it's a fake. Honestly, it's a TD either way. When you got Diggs and Bees and Gabe Davis, three-headed Singletary, Moss, Breda. Who gon' stop us? We the greatest. Forget Mahomes, forget Kelsey, forget Hill. Come and replay us, cause we ready. Sebastian like Boogie, yeah, we ready. Moving for Cody Ford. Ready, kick they buck up like Ike, yeah we ready. Dawson Knox with a spike, are you ready? Season tickets, I'm hype up the team ready. Buffalo, this is our team forever. Forever. We got Josh Allen, got Steph Diggs, we got Cole Deion Dawkins, cause you know it's about to snow. Mafia, you know we on a roll. No competition and it's not even close. It's a Bill City. A Buffalo Bill City. It's a Bill City.
It's a Bill City.
Yeah. A Buffalo Bill City.
Buffalo Bill City.
Yeah. We got Josh Allen, got Steph Diggs, we got Cole Deion Dawkins, cause you know it's about to snow. Mafia, you know we on a roll. No competition and it's not even close. It's a Bill City.
It's a Bill City.
Yeah. A Buffalo Bill City.
Buffalo Bill City.
Yeah.
What?
It's a Bill City.
It's a Bill City.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
A Buffalo Bill City.
A Buffalo Bill
yeah.
City.
Yeah. Taron Johnson with a pick six. It's just too easy. Don't pass it to Treyway. Please believe me. We got high right behind him in Poyer Free. Please don't run up the middle unless you want to meet a star. Greg Rousseau can show you what he's about. Trey Edmonds and Matt Milano can't get around him. Our team is grounded. Oh, yeah. Sebastian like Boogie. Yeah, we ready. Moving for Cody Ford. We ready. Kick they buck up like Ike. Yeah, we ready. Dawson Knox with a spike. Are you ready? Season tickets. I'm hype up the team ready. Buffalo. This is our team forever. Forever. We got Josh Allen, got Steph Diggs, we got Cole Deion Dawkins, cause you know it's about to snow. Mafia, you know we on a roll. No competition and it's not even close. It's a Bill
yeah.
City.
Yeah.
A Buffalo Bill City.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, Nate.